Fret Film Radio. I'm Matt Micucci from the Raindance Film Festival 2014. And I'm joined by the director of Dealer, Jean-Luc Herbulot, who is presenting the film here at the festival. So thanks very much for joining us.
Thank you, buddy. Thank you.
So let's introduce the film, first of all, for our listeners that would like to watch the film. What's the story of Dealer?
It's a story about a guy who basically have a dream and he's willing to do everything to fulfill his dream, you know, to pursue the dream, and the dream is he wants to go in Australia and quit all this life of drug dealing and real life of crime. And of course there is the big deal, the big time when he has the chance to quit everything and he basically try to take the deal, but that's the wrong deal, of course, or you don't have a movie. And the story of the movie, it's how this deal will change his life in one day.
Yeah. And the obligatory question is, how did this whole project start?
It started with an idea that I had for a long time, which was making a movie about emergency, about somebody running in Paris by night, but we didn't do that by night right now. And I wanted to make something in the vein of Run, Lola, Run, Trainspotting, those kind of movies where you can feel that the guy are in emergency. And after a discussion with Dan, we went on vacation together, he talked a little bit about his life and whatever, and I said, well, there is something interesting about your past and mixing with my stories that can make a great movie. And we just went from there. You know?
So that's really how it started. Is Dan and it was really a collaboration that began as soon as you met.
Yeah. So I said to Dan, okay, there is a subject, there is a movie that I want to attack with what you gave me. Are you okay with that? He said yes. Do you want to play with that? He said yes. And he said to me, you know what? I can even produce that. I was like, let's go. You know. And I met my co-writer, Sami Baroun. Told him the story. I already wrote like 20 or 30 pages, the first act of the movie, and I said, well, I'm stuck right now because I'm not a screenwriter, and I need somebody who can help me on writing that. And Sami came on board, and he just finished the first version of the script, and I went back, and we had three versions of the script, and that became the movie.
But I know that this film was shot in very short time. Yeah. 12 days, is
12
that
days.
Correct?
Yeah, 12 days.
What
yeah.
are the difficulties of shooting in such a tight span of time and just such a tight schedule?
Well, to be gross, you just attach your bows on your body and say, okay, I go, you know, and that's a war. That's a war every day. But it's just about how you manage to keep your energy focus on every task and every it's a war, you know, and you just fight every day to have what you need to have.
I guess at the same time we mentioned the pace of the film too. It must have helped a little bit because at the same time you were kind of rushing to get the shots done and just get it all done.
Yeah.
So it kind of adds to the energy of the film. Yeah. Do you find that too?
Yeah, that was the goal. I think that as a director, your task is to create an atmosphere around the movie, not only making the movie, but trying to create a good platform for everybody to for the movie to have that feeling, and that was the best platform to create that movie, to be in the emergency and to push everybody in that emergency, especially even in post-production, you know.
So would you say that it was also fun to shoot in this way?
Yeah, the movie is about cocaine, so you have to feel that when you're watching the movie, you're on cocaine, right?
Yeah, you feel there the rush.
There is the rush. There is a rush of watching that, of living in Dan's head during this journey and feel what he feels.
A frantic roller coaster ride to hell, in a sense. There's a lot of films things that I like about this film. One of them is the actual setting of the place. You know, Paris. We see Paris as a place for romantic comedies more than we see the actual gritty side, the violent side. You know, this is a really refreshing portrayal of the setting. Do you think so too?
Yeah, that was the goal. We didn't want it to make the Woody Allen way of showing Paris. We didn't want the Lelouch way of seeing Paris too. So we wanted something new, something more dirty, something more real. And that's the Paris that I know, by the way. That's the Paris that Dan and the other actors knows because we live there. And we know that Paris is not just about the fucking Tour Eiffel or whatever. It's a beautiful city, but as all the city in the world, like all the city in the world, you have some dark places. And those dark places hide some interesting secret as a filmmaker and as a screenwriter. So that was the goal, to show that to people, and especially abroad, to people who doesn't know that Paris, and show something exotic.
And in terms of actually representing that in a realistic light, we talked about it briefly before the interview. Another thing that I admired about the film is that there aren't as many guns as you usually see in a film like this. I mean, this is actually what happens in the streets. Right?
Yeah, we want it real. So I'm a big fan of John Woo's movies, Johnny To, Jean-Pierre Melville, all those guys when he's talking about guns and all that. But I really felt like Dealer, I wanted something real. I wanted to show that in the street, when you want to go slap somebody or go even go kill somebody, you don't want it to be showy, to be big time guns or whatever. They do that in a discreet way. So I wanted to stay discreet but stay savage, you know? So that's why there is this famous scene of, I would say, torture scene, whatever, how you call that, in the movie.
I know the one you're referring to.
Yeah. Well, that's the scene that is shocking everybody. But I'm going to be honest, because most of Dealer is coming from real facts, real stories. This thing happened to somebody that Dan knows. We even did that in a very light way, because the real way how it happened was even way more fucked up. So it's violence, but we need that in the movie, because it's a switching point in the script, you know, and you need to show that this world is not how you say that, is not that nice or pretty.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, it doesn't want to be either. Yeah. So we mentioned the shooting schedule. Let's talk money. Yeah. This film wasn't made much money. Well, I mean, it's an admirable sum, but for making a film like this, you would expect a much bigger budget.
Yeah.
How did you? What was the difficulty in working with such a tight budget as well as a tight schedule? Well, but also, I know that a lot of the budget went towards the post production.
Too. Well, it's the job of a good line producer, you know, to come on board and to say to us, okay, you can make the movie for that, or you cannot make the movie that you want for that. Hopefully, we got a great line producer who said to us, okay, the movie that you want to make is possible, but you will have to fight. And I say, well, that's my profession, and that's my specialty. And it was the first time for all of us, for Dan as a producer, for me as a director on the long feature. So it was a fight, but you have to be organized and smart and just strategic about what you want and what you don't want.
Yeah.
You know? I will give the example. Like I said during the screening, there was a scene, because somebody asked me, how you manage to do so much action scenes when you don't have time? Yeah. And we were like, well, you just work in emergency and you improvise a lot. And there is that scene where you have gypsies and Dan going in a place and doing a heist. And we were supposed to have that scene to shoot for one day, you know, to have like 8 or 9 hours. And we just had 3 hours to do that. So it was just like, okay, let's just film that, you know. So every day it's like that. It's just you have your storyboard or whatever, and it's a basis. And after that you go.
That's the key of guerrilla filmmaking. You just do it. You just go out and do
it.
And as well as that, I know that there's plans to continue on with the film. There's a plan of a trilogy.
Yeah, so when we wrote the first Dealer with Sami, the co-writer, there was always a plan of... I asked Sami to be very careful about the fact that every character in the movie should have charisma, should have a strong personality, because we don't know yet who we're going to take for the second one and the third one. So we were very careful about the character that we were using and the way we make them die or not, because we wanted to follow this guy after. So Dealer 3, Dealer 2 will be about some people that you see in Dealer. And the second one that we are writing right now, it's about gypsies, the gypsies that you see in Dealer 1. And it's happening nearly in the same day. Then Dan is leaving his thing. So It's like a big crossover of different characters, and it's not really some sequels or prequels or whatever, but it's in the same world, sharing the same character and having some crossovers. And
it's a creation of a microcosm.
Yeah. It's a microcosm, definitely.
Well, great. Thanks for talking to us about it.
I really enjoyed
the film.
You're welcome.
And I hope to see it in the big screens with a wider release here in the UK and everywhere in the world.
We're praying for that. So hopefully the viewers that were yesterday at Rendance, if the more they talk about the movie, the more we are having chances to have the movie show them.
Spread the word.
Yeah.
So thanks very much. Thanks again.
Thank you for the interview, buddy.
Thanks very much. This is Fred Film Radio, the Festival Insider.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on Fred.fm and smartphone apps.